Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
Praise the Lord. We're going to be turning to the book of Amos this morning. It's in the Old Testament, for those that are not sure. Book of Amos. Now, Amos, considered one of the minor prophets, and minor doesn't mean that he was lesser in what he prophesied. Minor generally relates to the fact it's a smaller book, less writings, less known about him. In fact, very little is known about Amos other than the fact that he lived in the 8th century B.C., and that's pretty much a lot of what we know about him. And we do know, though, that he was, at the time of this writing, he was a shepherd living in Tekoa, which is a village about 10 miles south of Jerusalem. And according to the Matthew Henry commentary, the name Amos signifies a burden. And once the Jews have a tradition that he was slow of tongue and spoke with stammering lips. Matthew Henry goes on to say, in allusion to his name, that his speech was weighty and his words the burden of the Lord. And you know, sometimes when the call of God is upon your life and God speaks to you to do something, the word of God is heavy upon your life. And what God speaks to your heart and what God calls you to do is heavy upon your life. And you can feel the weight of it as you are going to do what he calls you to do. And then as you begin to deliver the message, whatever it may be that he's called you to deliver, you can feel a lifting of that as God moves through you. Now, he was from Judah, but he prophesied in Israel, and apparently was not too popular there, because the priest of Bethel, Amaziah, called Amos a traitor and told him, go back to Judah and prophesy there. But you know what? If you've got the call of God upon your life, you cannot just say, okay, well, I'm just going to go over here and do it. You have to go where God speaks to your heart and where God calls you to go. And when you go there, you may not be the most popular person in town. In fact, you may be very unpopular. I was just thinking right then that back in the early days of Pentecost in the 20th century, the early 1900s, as the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was taking place in places like Azusa Street in California and other places that it was beginning to be outpoured and made evident in the way that it was, some of those people weren't too popular. People tried to run them out of town. People threw eggs at them. People did this, that, or the other to try to get rid of them, made fun of them. And as a Christian, when you are doing what God has laid upon your heart to do, you will not always be a popular person. So if you're in being a Christian because you think it's going to be the popular thing to do, I'm sorry, but you probably got a rude awakening there, because as a Christian, you will not always be popular. In fact, the day that we're living in right now, being a Christian is becoming less and less popular as the world shifts towards the secular things and the things that are away from God, or shifts towards some of the other religions such as Islam, where if you call out that you're a Christian, you're in big trouble sometimes. And you read in the bulletin today some of the things that can happen if you're a Christian in certain countries. So, but anyway, Amos, he replies back to Amaziah, and he says, I am not a professional prophet, and I was never trained to be one. I'm just a shepherd. And that's the case with most Christians. You're not a professional of whatever. You're not a professional prophet. You're not a professional preacher. You're not a professional teacher, whatever it may be. But you have a call of God upon your life to do something. And God enlightens you, and God gives you the words, and God gives you the wisdom to do that which he's called you to do. A lot of people are afraid to step out to do what God has called them to do because they say, well, I don't know how. But you know, if God has called you, God is going to equip you and God is going to train you. So I'm not a professional prophet. I'm not a professional, never been trained. I'm just a shepherd and I take care of sycamore fig trees. But the Lord told him, go and prophesy to my people in Israel. Go prophesy. Sometimes when God speaks to your heart, you ever sometimes, could we have a little talk about this, Lord? You know, I really don't want to do this. Anybody ever run into that situation? Yeah, I think most people as Christians have run into it at some point in their life. God speaks to you to do something. You say, Lord, are you sure you're not making a mistake here? Remember even Moses, by the way, another person who spoke with stammering lips, said to God, are you sure that I'm the right guy to send back in there to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt's bondage? You know, maybe you ought to find somebody else. But God, as I've heard this said many times, qualifies and equips those that he's called to do the job. Moses was actually the best trained person on the face of the planet at the time to do the job, but yet he thought he was inadequate. And sometimes we let our own feelings of our own inadequacy get into the way as we begin to do what God has called us to do. I know there's been times God spoke to me and to do something and put this tug on my heart to do it, and I don't know that I can do this, you know. I don't really want to do that, you know. But he's saying, I've got to do it because God has spoken to me. God spoke to him in a vision. We read in Amos chapter 8, verse 11. Again, that's Amos chapter 8, verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of a hearing the words of the Lord. We talk about famine today, and we talk about certain parts of the world that are experiencing famine of bread. They don't have enough to eat. We talk about certain parts of the world today that are having a famine of water. There's not enough water. We look here in the United States at our own West Coast in California, and there's a water shortage. And some people believe that this is not just from natural causes, but part of it's been created by things that man has done. And that is quite possible. But there's a shortage of water, and people are having to cut back on the amount of water they use. But he's saying, this is not what I'm talking about, because they were used to and knew what famines were. They knew what a famine of bread was. They knew what a famine of water was. They had gone through times when they had experienced those things. But he said, it's not these, but it's a famine of the hearing of the words of the Lord. You know, the Hebrew word shema is translated hearing, and according to Strong's, it's translated hear 785 times, but nine times it's translated understand. It's also translated several other ways. And Strong's goes on to say the primitive root word it means to hear intelligently, to discern, to understand. To discern or to understand. Amos goes on in verse 12 and says, and they shall wander from sea to sea, from the north even to the west or to the east, and they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. And you may ask, well, how does this apply to me in today's world? Because after all, he was living, you know, what did we say here, about 2,800 years ago. I mean, that's a long time. How does that apply to me today? And besides, a famine of God's word today, why, after all, we can go home and we can turn on the TV set. And I know here in the Nashville area, depending on which cable company or satellite dish you subscribe to, you can have an abundance And I know there are a few people don't subscribe to any of them, but there's still ways to get them. You can have an abundance of Christian programming. On the cable network that I subscribe to, there's probably at least 7, 8 that we can pick up. Some of it's the same stuff over, but still it's there. I can turn on the television anytime and pick up somebody preaching somewhere. So how can we have a famine of the hearing of the word? I mean, the word is going everywhere. It's being preached around the globe 24/7. It's always being preached, it seems like. In fact, in reality, there's no place on planet Earth that you can go where you cannot hear the gospel being preached. Now, admittedly, you've got to have maybe satellite radio or something like that to be able to pick it up, but you can hear it there. So how is there a famine in the hearing of the word? Well, let's go back here and let's talk about this a little bit more. Those translate an understanding of the word. There's a famine of the understanding of the word. There's a lot of people hear the word anymore, but they don't really understand it. They don't take time to delve into it. They don't take time to study it. They just want to get a quick it's like the thing they have for school, Cliff's Notes, you know, where you can go buy this little book and it's got the things you really need to know about a book or a particular study, and you can kind of just skip through it real quick and learn what at least you think you need to know about it. And there's a lot of people want to be that. They want the Cliff's Notes version of the gospel. They want the Cliff Notes version of the word of God. But you don't always understand it when you get that way and when you're getting it that way. Matthew chapter 24, verse 14 says, "And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." My parents and those who lived before them could not understand how the gospel could be preached all over the world. It was not humanly possible at that time. But in our lifetime, we have seen that take place where it can be done. Yet I realize that some of the stuff that's being preached today and called the gospel or the word of God has some real problems. I hear people preaching a gospel that does not line up with the word of God. And that's where it takes the understanding. We need to study and to know and to understand the word of God so that we don't get led astray by some of the other doctrines that are going around out there that are deviating. You know, it's very simple to get up and take a little bit of the gospel here and preach it and then slowly begin to add other things to it that aren't there. And you know, a great many people don't know. Oh, I didn't know that was in the Bible. Well, you don't know it was in the Bible because, number one, you didn't study it, but number two, it's not in the Bible because somebody added it and you just accepted it was because they told you it was. And even us, there are things that we've been taught and told or in the Bible that aren't there. Somebody came up with it, sounded good. Oh, yeah, it must be there. We need to understand and to study and to know the Word of God. We need to be aware of what's going on. Matthew 7, chapter 7, verse 15 says, "Be aware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves." A lot of that going around. Ravaging wolves. People who draw great crowds and their word sounds good. But is it really holy, truly the word of God? Is it the gospel of Jesus Christ? So many times we hear things preached. Do you ever have listened to a preacher sometimes and you begin to wonder, it doesn't quite sound right? But do you ever really go home then and look it up and start to begin to study to find out? Was he really telling the truth? Was he really preaching the Word of God? You know, if it doesn't sound right, check it out. Make sure it's the Word of God. Make sure what you're hearing is God's Word. There's an abundance of hearing. I said, you can hear Christian preaching 24/7. You can hear it in a multitude of languages. You can go on the internet, just as we have messages on demand. There are other programs out there that allow a person to go back and hear a service from months ago, or maybe be a part of a congregation as they are live broadcasting it over the internet. And you can hear these things. So there's an abundance of the hearing of the Word. But the famine is not in the hearing, but the famine is in the understanding the Word of God. Do we really understand the Word of God? Are we letting it sink into our heart? Are we feeding on what has been preached to us and what we are being taught? Are we feeding on it as the Word of God and understanding what it really means? Anybody ever ask you something about the Bible and sometimes you really didn't want to answer them because you didn't know? It happens once in a while. Yeah. Anybody ever ask you, well, what do you believe? Now, when I'm growing up, the church I grew up in, or one of the churches I grew up in, what do you believe? I could tell you everything we didn't believe. But to truly answer the question, well, what do you believe? Because I was being taught what I didn't believe, not what I did believe. Well, I don't believe in smoking, I don't believe in cussing, I don't believe in drinking, I don't believe in this, that, and the other, you know. But what did I believe? I was not understanding the Word of God. Understanding the Word of God is knowing what you believe. And you need to know the basics of what you believe. Do you have to everyone be a theological scholar? No. But you need to know the basics. You need to understand the basics of what God is trying to teach us and what He is showing us in His Word. The most important thing, of course, that we know and understand is the fact that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. He is the one who was sent to redeem mankind from their sin. We need to understand that there is no other way. But yet there'll be people in churches today, Christian churches, that will tell you, oh, I believe there's a lot of ways. I believe there's a lot of ways. Be surprised, there's some well-known preachers out there that'll tell you that. Oh, there's more than one way. No, there's not. There is only one. We don't always understand. Matthew Henry, again in his commentary, said, a general judgment of spiritual famine coming upon the whole land, a famine of the Word of God, the failing of the oracles, and the scarcity of good preaching. A lot of people today think good preaching is when you go in and you listen to the guy, and he gets you so fired up about how good you are, how blessed you are, how you're this and you're that, that you walk out of there, man, I am such a good person. But you know what? If you're really getting some good preaching, Sometimes you're going to walk out with your head hung low, tears in your eyes, and feeling miserable. Because we all mess up once in a while. Every last one of us sometimes makes boo-boos, and sometimes they're big ones. But when you're only being taught that you've done nothing wrong, that you're living the perfect life, that's a scarcity of the Word of God and understanding, because we know that we're all sinners, and we know that without the grace of God in our life and Him dealing with us on a daily basis, we are going to mess up. I don't care who we are. It's more than just making you feel good. It's more than just telling you how good you are. It's knowing that you are only in the position that you are in as a Christian because of the grace of God that is in your life. And if it was not for the grace of God, we'd all be, as the Bible says, of all men, most miserable. We would all be a miserable group of people. But because of God's grace, and understanding the grace of God, we are who we are. We need God in our life. We need to understand the basics. Good preaching will sometimes make you feel bad. Motivational speaking, on the other hand, is meant to make you feel good. You can do this. Blah, 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 whatever it may be. You know, if you are involved in, I don't know how many people here have maybe ever been involved in some sort of multi-level marketing program that's going around, and there's varieties of them that go around, but the whole thing is to make you feel good about yourself and what you can do. And all the things you go to are to fire you up and feel good, feel good, feel good. Some churches are that way today. Feel good, feel good, feel good. Well, even sinners who are doing the most rotten and abominable things that you can think of can feel good about themselves. Ah, man, I had such a great time. I went out and I did this sin, that sin, and I'm so proud of myself. Oh, they can feel good. But when the Word of God comes to us and we understand the Word, we are going to understand and realize what a miserable person we really could be and really are. Again, except for the grace of God, we are where we are. I am not going to heaven because I'm Kenneth Unger. When I get to those pearly gates, God cannot turn me down because I'm Kenneth Unger. No, that ain't going to work. I will get to heaven only because the blood of Jesus Christ was shed on the cross of Calvary, and Kenneth Unger one day said, "Jesus, forgive me of my sin. And let your blood wash away my sins." And only because of that will I get there. I will get there not because I'm a good person. I will get there not because of what I have done or where I have been or how much money I have or don't have. I get there only because of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for my redemption. And I need to understand that. The world needs to understand that. You get there because, not of who you are, but because of Jesus Christ. Time and time again, I've heard people say, "God surely will not turn me away because I've done this, I've done that." But the Bible goes on to tell us that there will be those who've called, "I've done this in your name, I've done that, and you know, I've fed the sick, I've fed the poor, I've healed the sick, I've done this and I've done that." Surely, and God says, looks at him and says, "I don't know who you are." I preached a funeral several years ago for one of my cousins, and she had polio when she was young. So all my recollections of her was she was crippled. She could barely get around at times. But the thing I always remember about her is she was always a smile on her face. She always had something good to say. And no matter how much pain she might have or this, that, or the other, she was upbeat. And she loved the Lord. And as I preached her funeral, I was inspired, I believe, by God to talk about what happened when she transitioned from death into life. Because that's what we're going to when we go. We're going to life. We're going to true life. And I said, I can imagine that the angels were running around heaven saying, "Have you heard? She's here. She's here. Barbara's here." Because the Bible says if we understand the Word of God and we have Jesus Christ as our Savior and He's dwelling in our heart, He knows us by name. And He welcomes us into His presence. We need to understand that we are the child of God if we have Jesus in our heart. I don't care how religious you are and how much you say that you give to the church or how much you say you do for mankind or what all things that you might do that are good in the eyes of the world, unless Jesus is in your heart, He doesn't know your name. He's just going to say, "Depart." We need to understand that. Going to church does not save us. And I know there are some people who feel, "Well, I gave my heart to Jesus. Now I don't need to go to church. I can go do whatever else I want to do. I won't ever have to go to church again." It's not true. Going to church in itself, though, does not save you. Being on the church board doesn't save you. Being the biggest donor the church has doesn't save you. We need to understand the only thing that saves us is Jesus Christ and having Him in our heart. Understanding the Word of God. Billions have heard the Word of God. Billions of people. But not all understand. Let's take a look back at Amos for just a moment. If the Jewish tradition is correct and he was a man of stammering lips and slow of speech, he would never make it, at least in today's world. No. I'm not going to hear that old guy. Man, he stumbles all over his words and this, that, and the other. But then, as I said earlier, another famous man in the Bible was Moses. And it says here in Exodus chapter 4, verse 10, "And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue." Slow of speech and of a slow tongue. We can all find excuses to get out of serving God. "I'm too busy. I've got to do this." Remember? Bible talks about, in the Gospels, about the feast that was given. Sent them out, "I've got all these things to do." Too busy to serve God. And sometimes today, we as Christians and preachers get caught up in church speak. You know what church speak is? It's some of the words that we use in church. We know what it means. But the average person on the street hasn't got the foggiest idea of what we're talking about. And sometimes, I went to a service, I probably told this before, I went to a service one time as a minister's meeting. It's almost all preachers there, their wives and families and what have you. And the guy got up and he delivered his sermon. On the way home, there was I think, five of us in the car. One of the people in the car was an elderly woman who had been in the ministry for over 50 years in the ministry. And she looks at the rest of us and says, "Do any of you know what he said?" Because he was using all the great theological terms and this, that, and the other. And the vast majority of those he was preaching to, even though they were preachers and members of the church and so on, didn't have the foggiest idea of what he was talking about. We need to understand, and sometimes we, as those who are putting the word forth, need to put it in the language and in the terms that people understand. Well, we can know the great theological terms, and there's some big terms out there that are tongue twisters to say. And if we use those, most people would go home, what was that all about? It needs to be simple. Jesus didn't make it hard. He just said, all you have to do is accept me as your Savior. Believe in me, I'm the Messiah. It's that easy. He didn't say you've got to go through this routine. You've got to memorize this. You've got to do that. You've got to learn all this whole new thing that you've got to do, you know. Just say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. And if there are those that are listening to me today over the internet or by CD that don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to give you the opportunity today to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He died for your sins. I don't care who you are, where you are, what you've done, what your past is. He died for your sins. And all you've got to do is say, Jesus, I'm sorry. I accept what you did for me on the cross of Calvary. I want you to come into my heart today. I want to be your child. I want to be a child of God. I want to be saved. And you know what? If you do that in sincerity, and it doesn't matter exactly what words you say there, just ask him in. Invite him into your heart. He's standing there. The Bible says he's standing at the door knocking. All you've got to do is open the door and let him in. Simple as that. He'll come in. And he'll abide with you. Father, today I thank you for your blessings. I thank you for your word. And I pray, Father, that you would help us as Christians, Father, not only to understand your word, Father, but to help others understand it. Father, we need so much today an understanding of the word of God and not so many of the things that are going around today that are passing itself off as your word, but Father, the true word of God, that you love us, that you care about us, that you want to be there for us, and all we need to do is to accept you. I thank you for that. For I've asked it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's House. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.